All right, well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we are kind of, we're in between series right now, on both on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and what I did this morning was I preached a sermon entitled Things to Focus on This Summer, and when I began to prepare for this sermon on Sunday morning, I realized I had way more material than I could cover in one sermon, so I decided for this week to do a part one and a part two. I did part one this morning, and I'm going to do part two tonight, and if you remember this morning, and let me just go ahead and say this, if you weren't here this morning, I would encourage you to go on our website and either listen, if you just hit the preaching link, you'll find the audio sermons of our church. You can listen to the audio version of it, or you can go on our YouTube page and find the video version of it. But I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. Not that you need that for this sermon, but this is the part two of part one, so you can get the entire teaching. And if you're listening online, I would encourage you to find that sermon this morning. We had an issue with our live stream, and the live stream didn't go through. So maybe you're watching tonight's live stream, and you didn't see this morning's. I would encourage you to go back this morning and listen to that sermon. If you remember this morning, what we learned, we were talking about the fact that summertime is a great time to take a break and to relax and to maybe get away a little bit and to rest. And that's a biblical principle, and we saw that from the Bible. But we talked about the fact that though we are resting during summer, there are some things that we should continue to focus on even during summertime. And this morning we talked about the fact that during the summertime we should be going to church faithfully, and during the summertime we should be growing in the Lord spiritually. And you don't have to turn there, you're there in 1 Timothy, but let me read for you from Acts 20:18. The Apostle Paul said this, the Bible says this about the Apostle Paul, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And we talked about the fact that Paul was consistent throughout every season of his life. And I want you to notice, though, that it wasn't just that he was consistent with what he did, and that's very important, but it was also consistent. He was also consistent with who he was. He says, you know what manner. And he says, you know what manner of person I have been with you at all seasons. So not only was he consistent at every season, but he was the same consistent person throughout the seasons. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because today we have this idea that as the seasons change, we can change. As the culture changes, we can change with the culture. As the weather changes, we can change with the weather. As the circumstances change, we can change with the circumstances. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible commands for us to be consistently consistent, to be consistent in the manner of life that we have. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm not following you. And here's point number one, and we're going to just jump right into it. And like I said, this is part two of a two-part series. So if you didn't hear this morning's sermon, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. But here's point number one in tonight's sermon, and it is this. We're talking about areas to focus on during the summer. We talked about going to church faithfully, and when we take vacations from work, but we should not take vacations from God. And I'm not saying that you need to come here. If you're gone away, find somewhere to go to church and be faithful in your church attendance. We talked about spending time in the Word and reading the Bible and praying and growing spiritually. Point number one tonight, during the summertime, we should be maintaining our clothing standards. During the summertime, we should be maintaining our clothing standard. You're there in 1 Timothy 2, look at verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this, in like manner also, it says that women, now it talks about women, this applies to all of us, but God here directs it at women because this is something that women maybe need to pay a little more attention to. He says that women adorn themselves, notice what it says, in modest apparel. The word modest means having or showing a moderate or humble estimate of one's merit or importance. It means free from vanity, egotism, or boastfulness. It means free from ostentation or showy extravagance. It means that you are not
dressing in a way or appearing in a way that brings attention to yourself. He says, in modest apparel, he says, with shamefacedness. What does shamefacedness mean? It means to be modest or bashful. It means showing shame. He says, you need to dress, and he's telling us here, and people say, oh, you shouldn't preach about how people should dress. Look, we preach everything that's in the Bible. And the Bible talks about how God wants you to dress. And here's one verse. There's many verses we could look at. Here's one verse. He says, look, you ought to adorn yourself in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. What does sobriety mean? It means the state or quality of being sober, temperance or moderation. It means to be serious. And look, he's not saying you need to dress like a bag woman. He's not saying you need to dress ugly. All right, ladies, you can read Proverbs 31 and look at that virtuous woman. The Bible says that she was dressed beautifully, that she took care of herself. But the Bible does teach us that we ought to dress modest, with shamefacedness, and with sobriety. And here's what I'd like to tell you, is that during the summertime, what often happens is that people throw out their clothing standards. They'll decide, well, it's getting hot. And well, you know, we're gonna go to the lake, or we're gonna go to the river, or we're gonna go to the beach. So none of these things apply anymore. And listen to me, nakedness is still nakedness in the summertime. The Bible teaches that we as Christians ought to cover up our nakedness. Go to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And I'm gonna prove this to you from the Bible, because everything we believe at Verity Baptist Church, we prove from the Word of God. And look, we don't apologize for the Bible. Culture changes, and society changes, and people decide the world is waxing worse and worse, and people decide that the Bible is an ancient book and it doesn't apply. But the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It'll help you. It'll help me. You say, "What are there any parts of the Bible you don't believe?" I believe all of it. Exodus 28, notice verse 42. Notice that the Bible defines for us what nakedness is. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I'll spend enough time to make the point and to make some of you uncomfortable, just because it's fun. Exodus 28, verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches. And breeches, that's an older, archaic spelling of the modern word breeches, which is pants. He's talking to the priest. He's saying, thou shalt make them linen breeches. Okay, don't let people tell you, oh, in the Bible days, the guys wore dresses. No, they didn't. They wore breeches. Notice what the point of the breeches were, to cover their nakedness. You say, well, isn't that obvious? It is obvious, but you think it's obvious, but yet today, people need to be, and you need to spell it out for people what nakedness is. He says, to cover their nakedness. You say, well, what's your nakedness? Notice, from the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. He says, I want you to put on breeches. That, and he's talking to men here, but this applies to everyone. This applies to women as well. He said, I want you to cover your loins from your loins even unto your thighs. You say, why? Because from your loins to your thighs, God considers that nakedness. Now, what are your loins? And I don't want to get into specific, anything too graphic here, but let me just give you a definition for the word loins, for the biblical word loins here, for just the word in general. It is the part of the body between the hips and the lower ribs. It is the reproductive organs. Now look, hopefully everybody here would agree, yes, that's your nakedness. The reproductive organs on a human being are your nakedness. And here's what I'm telling you. The Bible tells us and defines for us what nakedness is. Your reproductive organs, the area of your body between the hips and your lower thigh, is, according to the Bible, nakedness. God makes it even more obvious. Go to Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 20, if you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah. We're looking at what the Bible defines as nakedness. Isaiah chapter number 20, and look at verse 4. Now, I hope this makes sense too. I hope you understand this also. Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 40 says this, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoner and the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot. Now, he's talking about the fact that they're going to be led away captive. And when they're being led away captive, they're by their enemies, they're going to be made to march naked and barefoot. And God just defines for us and makes sure that we understand what that means. He says, even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. So here God defined for us again what nakedness is. And he says, look, if the front side of your body in that area where your reproductive organs are is nakedness, then guess what? The back side of that area is nakedness too. He says your buttocks is nakedness. Now look, hopefully at this point you're just saying, yes, that's nakedness. Now look, let me tell you something. In our culture today, this is many people don't consider this nakedness anymore. There's many people running around out there today with their buttocks showing. And they, our world today doesn't necessarily think that this is nakedness anymore. Hopefully you're sitting here this evening, you're saying, yes, I can agree with that. Yes, that is nakedness. Okay, we'll go to Isaiah 47, because this is not the only things that God defines as nakedness. He defines the front side of you between your lower, your between the area of the body between the hips, and the lower ribs, between the hips and the lower ribs, the reproductive organs. He defines that as nakedness. Then he defines the backside of the same area, the buttocks, as nakedness. But don't you notice what else God defines as nakedness? Isaiah 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground there. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. He's talking to the virgin daughter of Babylon. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind thy meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover thy thigh. Pass over the river. So notice he says, hey, make bare your leg and uncover your thigh. And again, this is all shameful things. In the Bible, nakedness is always shameful. This virgin daughter is being carried into captivity, being made to march in nakedness. He says, look, uncover thy lock, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Verse 3, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Now look, he says, uncover your thigh in verse 2. And then in verse 3 he says, and when you uncover your thigh, what you're uncovering is your nakedness. You say, why? Because in the Bible, your thigh is nakedness. Look, you may not like that, you may not agree with that, but it doesn't matter what you think, this is what the Bible says. The Bible defines your thighs as nakedness. So let's apply this. What does that mean? That means that as Bible-believing Christians who are going to actually follow the Bible and do what the Bible says, we ought to cover our nakedness. You say, well, yeah, we should cover our reproductive organs. Amen, I agree. Well, yeah, I mean, we should cover our backside. Amen, I agree. But do you know what that means? That means you ought to cover your thighs as well. You know what that means, ladies? That a Bible-believing Christian young lady who wants to honor the Lord shouldn't be wearing a miniskirt. You say, why? Well, it reveals your thigh. Well, now, you know, I don't know about that. Now you're meddling. No, I'm pretty sure I just proved that from the Bible. I'm pretty sure that's what the Bible says. You know what that means? Is that short shorts should not be worn by Christians, male or female. Today you got a bunch of, you know, sissy-looking guys walking around with their little short shorts. No, nobody wants to look at your thigh. Amen. And whether it's male or female, hey, if it reveals your thigh, it's your nakedness. How about swim gear? How about bikinis? How about swimsuits? And look, here's all I'm trying to explain to you, is that if somebody walked in, look, before you get all mad at me and angry and I'm going to get all mad, look, just think of it logically. If someone walked through those doors right now, if a lady walked through those doors right now and sat down and she was just in her underwear, just in her underwear, she just sat down, we would all be appalled. We would all be upset. We would be asking her to leave. Somebody would be trying to cover her with a blanket. We'd be saying, you can't come to church in your underwear and a bra and in your underwear. You can't come. Like, that's nakedness. But yet you take the same lady with the same outfit, different material, put a hole in the ground and put water in it, call it a pool, and all of a sudden it's fine. Go to the river wearing the same clothing and now it's fine. Go to the beach wearing the same clothing and now it's fine. Here's all I'm telling you. Nakedness is still nakedness, whether it's at the church house, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at the beach. Hey, we ought to be consistent in our standards. And look, during summertime, don't lose your standards in regards to nakedness. Don't lose your clothing standards. Just because it's hot doesn't mean you get to get all naked and go be like, the world does it. The world does a lot of crazy things. The world believes a lot of crazy things. We've been called to be different. We've been called to come out from the world. And we need to make sure that we are covering up our nakedness, no matter how. Look, your standards should not change based on the degrees. Your standards should not change based. And let me say this. You need to maintain, and those of you that are raising children, you need to maintain consistent convictions. Because you know what teenagers get put off by and what young people get put off by? They get put off by hypocrisy. You need to make sure that you are maintaining consistent convictions. Now, you're there in Isaiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 16. Convictions should be consistent in every situation. Listen to me. We do not believe in situational ethics. We do not believe that, well, something is right and something is wrong based in this context, but then based in that context, all of a sudden, the rules change. No, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's December or June. It doesn't matter if it's Sacramento or, in the city or at the lake. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're right, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And we must learn to maintain consistent convictions and not play the situational ethics game. Look, standards should not change based on the seasons. And let me just say this, standards should not change based on your age. Today, you got it's funny to me, you've got, independent fundamental Baptists. Pastor, I'm against putting swim gear on a young lady. I'm against bikinis. I'm against putting a bathing suit on a young lady. But then they'll put it on their kids. And it's like, oh, well, they're just little kids. It's no big deal. Okay, well, how far are you going to take that? I mean, are you really going to raise your daughter and say, hey, it's okay to put a bikini on you. It's okay to put a bathing suit on you. It's okay to expose your flesh to the world when you're 12 years old. But now that you're 13 years old, now that's a sin. Now we're going to cover you up. Is that what you're going to do? Because your 12-year-old's going to rebel and think you're an idiot. And here's why they're going to think you're an idiot, because you're an idiot. Because that's stupid. And you say, oh, no, well, I wouldn't do it with a 12-year-old. Okay, a 10-year-old? Well, no, not a 10. An 8-year-old? Well, no, not an 8. A 6-year-old? Well, how long are you going to take this? Look, if it's wrong to do it when you're 13, it's wrong to do it when you're 6. And look, we live in a society today. You go out to the stores right now, and you'll find a bunch of clothing for a bunch of 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 6. They want to put mini skirts on little 6-year-olds. And they think it's cute. I think it's reprobate. I think it's a wicked society that is trying to teach our children. You say, Pastor, what do you do? We put skirts on our girls. We put dresses on our girls. I'm not talking about putting leggings underneath their skirt because they're running around their little kids. Look, we go out to the river. We put the same thing on them we'd put on them when they were 13. You say, why? Because we want to be consistently consistent. Because our standards do not change based on location. Our standards do not change based on age. Our standards don't change. Right and wrong doesn't change. So you got to develop, you got to decide, what am I? Who am I? What do I stand for? And then teach your children to do that. Nakedness is still nakedness in the summertime. Maintain consistent convictions with your children. And let me just say this. And here's what I know. And people don't like you. You preach like this, they're like, I don't like this. But here's what I know, ladies. Here's what I know. That when you, I don't care if you were saved or not saved or whatever, when you were old enough to be conscious of yourself, and that first time you were with your friends and you went out to the lake or you went out to the beach or you went out to the river and you're going to put on that bikini, and it was that moment to kind of take your shirt off or take your pants off or take whatever off and kind of be out there, you know that it was awkward and weird and embarrassing for you. You say, why was it like that? Because God put that in you. Because your conscience told you it was wrong. And you say, well, but you did it. Yeah, you did it because everybody else did it. And eventually, you learned to lose that blush. Jeremiah 6, are you there? Look at verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 6, 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. This is the society we live in. Neither could they blush. Please listen to me. Don't ever let your girls get to the place where they can't blush. Because you've dressed them in ways and you've put clothing on them in ways. They don't even blush anymore. We should blush. It's called being dressed modestly, shamefacedness, sobriety. All right, you can dress your young girls in such a way and get them used to just putting certain things on and putting certain clothes on, and then they lose their blush. I don't want my girls to lose their blush. I want them to feel awkward when they're naked, because that's how they should feel. Because it's wrong. Because it's not right. And you can say, I don't agree with this. You're some sort of extremist. You're some sort of fundamental. You don't agree with it, but you know it's true. You know it's true that it was awkward and weird and embarrassing the first time you did it. Why? Because God put that in you. A consciousness that told you this is wrong. You got to maintain consistent convictions with your children. Standards should not change based on season. Standards should not change based on age. Go to Romans chapter 13. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 13. Some of you are like, you should have finished this morning. This should have been done. Romans chapter 13. Hey, look, are you a fundamentalist or not? I'm a fundamentalist. Well, make sure you're a fundamentalist at the river too. Make sure you're a fundamentalist at the lake too. Make sure you're a fundamentalist at the beach too. Standards don't change. Convictions don't change. Paul said, you know what matter of man, I've been with you at all seasons. I've been consistent. I've been consistently consistent. Do your best to avoid areas that you will be exposed to nakedness. Look, in the summertime, you need to do your best to avoid areas where you're going to be exposed to nakedness. Romans 13, verse 14. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says this, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. The word provision means the action of providing or supplying something for use. The Bible says that we need to make sure that we are not making provision for the flesh, that we are not supplying, that we are not giving supplies to the flesh to do what? To fulfill the lust thereof. Look, during summertime, go on vacations. During summertime, go on trips. During summertime, go swimming. Do those things. It's great things, but don't sin against God while you're doing it. And look, you got to do your best to avoid areas where you will be exposed to nakedness. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, first book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 5. You know, just recently, my wife and I, we went on a trip to Hawaii. I preached there on for a church plant that's going to be starting, and we were there for a little bit of a missions trip. We went soul winning every day while we were there, and then had a little bit of time on vacation. Brother Montel and Ms. Lindsay went with us, and we had a real good time, you know, just soul winning, and then went out and did some fun things. And ever since we've been back, Brother Montel and Ms. Lindsay have just been randomly crying, you know, as they think of Hawaii, and they reminisce, you know, and that's fine. We had a great time. But, you know, while we were there, you know, something, we wanted to go to the beach. We took some pictures. We posted them on our church's Facebook. We wanted to go to the beach and see the beach, and wanted to take some pictures and do a little bit of swimming. And but here's the problem with the beach in Honolulu is that you've got 1,000 naked people right around. So, well, what'd you do? We went to the beach at 7 in the morning. Turns out nobody was up there at 7 in the morning. We took pictures. We went swimming. You said, wasn't it cold? Yeah, but I'm a fundamentalist. Well, the ladies took some pictures. We posted them on Facebook. They were dressed modestly. There's nothing for us to be embarrassed about. You say, why? Here's all I'm telling you. Do your best to avoid areas where you're going to be exposed to nakedness. Do your best to avoid areas where you're going to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Is it sin or not? You say, well, we live in places or we go to places and you can't help it. Look, when you cannot help it that you're going to be exposed to nakedness, then you need to learn. Look, this is male and female. You need to learn to look away, but especially men. Amen. Matthew 5:28, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The Bible says that if a man looks on a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. Men, you need to learn to look away. You need to learn to guard your eyes. Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And we must teach our young people. Pastor McMurtry at the camp that I was just preaching at this week, he preached a great sermon about this, and he talked about the fact that we need to train our boys right now before they even get into that age where they start having those feelings and those desires. We need to train them that when someone is dressed immodestly, they look away. And you say, yeah, but it's weird. Then be weird. And just train yourself and have a habit of bouncing your eyes and making sure you're not looking at something that's wrong. Why? Because whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after it commit adultery with her already is on. And you say, well, we can't help it in the world we live in. But you can help not staring. You say, well, I can't help it. People are just... Then you take responsibility for yourself and you look away. And look, we must teach our boys to do the same. We must teach our children. And look, everyone should look away. You say, yeah, but, you know, so-and-so came over and they were dressed. We've had situations where we were just at something and somebody else was there. They were dressed. It gets awkward. You have conversations like this. How you doing? Good. Nice weather we're having. We're indoors. I know. Well, doesn't that make her feel ashamed? She ought to feel ashamed. Amen. Doesn't that make her feel awkward? No, it makes me feel awkward. Look, are you a fundamentalist or not? Do you believe the Bible or not? Is the Bible true or not? You got to do your best to avoid areas where you'll be exposed to nakedness. And when you cannot avoid it, you must look away, especially the men. During the summertime, you ought to be going faithfully to church. We talked about that this morning. During the summertime, you ought to be growing spiritually in the Lord. We talked about this morning. But during the summertime, we should be maintaining our clothing standards. It doesn't matter that it's June, doesn't matter it's July, doesn't matter that it's August, doesn't matter that it's hot. It doesn't matter. And look, you ought not be going places on purpose where you know you're going to see a bunch of naked people. Let me help some of you. Some of you moms, I'm amazed at just the ignorance. Don't take your teenage boys to a water park with a bunch of naked teenage girls.
Oh, that doesn't affect my son.
You're an idiot. And I say that with every loving, thing in my heart. I love you. But look, if it doesn't affect your son, you've got some other major problems. You've got some big issues. And you say, you know, you're setting up your kids for failure. You ought to avoid areas where you're going to be exposed to nakedness. And when you cannot avoid it, you must develop the character to look away. Number two, go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 1. Pastor, why do you have to bring that up? Because some of you are going to go on vacation and get your kids all naked and teach your daughters to lose their blush. And it's wrong. Number two, during the summertime, I only got 2 points, all right? We're done. Awkward face over. Let's talk about something else. During the summertime, we should be maintaining our soul winning. Not only should we be maintaining our clothing standards, but we should be maintaining our soul winning during summertime. In church world, and I don't really talk a lot about this, but from time to time on a Sunday night, I'll talk about it. But in church world, you've got different seasons of ministry. And obviously, we're always preaching. We're always soul winning. We're always doing what we can to reach people with the gospel. But our two major pushes, when we talk about growth pushes, will be in the spring and they'll be in the fall. Those are the times of the year when you can really push for growth and you can bring people into church and get them saved. And I mean, we get people saved all the time, but get them saved and baptized and connected. I'm not saying you can't do that during the summer. I'm just saying it's more evident for whatever reason, just something about the fall. People are getting back to work. They're getting back to school. They're kind of getting back to normal life and they're just kind of ready to come to church. And praise the Lord for that. But you know, we can continue to soul win and reach people through the summer months. And in fact, what I have found is that the more faithful we are during the summer, the greater harvest we'll have in the fall. When we are faithfully sowing the Word of God in our community during the summer months, then God blesses with a great harvest in the fall. So you know what? During the summertime, we should be maintaining our clothing standards, but during the summertime, we should be maintaining our soul winning. And let me just explain something to you. At Verity Baptist Church, we have the position that we want to saturate our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to take every opportunity and every venue to try to get the Word of God out to the masses. Where do you get that from? We get it from the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. You know the verse. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Jerusalem would be the city. For us, it'd be Sacramento. Judea would be like the state or the region. For us, it would be California. Samaria would be like the neighboring states, how we planted a church in Idaho and we planted a church in Washington. It'd be like trying to reach areas outside of our state. But then he says this, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That God desires for us to just saturate our community with the gospel of Christ. You're there in Acts 1, go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 27. Acts chapter 5 and verse 27, the Bible says this. And when they had brought them, Acts 5, 27, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Here's the apostles being brought before the political and religious leaders of their land, and they are telling them, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, notice what the enemies said about the early church in Jerusalem. They said, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I love that. Would to God that it would be said of Verity Baptist Church that we have filled Sacramento with our doctrine. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. The positions we take, people don't like it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what you have to say or what you have to preach about homosexuality. They don't want just what you just got done preaching about nakedness. They don't want to hear it. You know what? These people didn't want to hear it either. They said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? But the apostles said, we don't care. Yet they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. He said, you have filled Jerusalem with doctrine. You say, why? Because number one, God commanded us to do it. But number two, don't let the people that are negative stop you, because look, there's people out there that want to hear it. And they're trying to just stop everyone from getting the gospel. You know what? We're going to get it to everyone because we've been commanded to, but we're going to get it to everyone because we love people. We want to reach them with the gospel. But look, we want to saturate this community with the gospel. They said that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Go to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 36. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. Acts 10, verse 36, the Bible says this, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, notice what, I love these verses. Here's some of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, the word I say, ye know, notice, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He said, the word of God was published throughout all Judea. So what was that early church doing? Why did they make such an impact in the world? You know what? They were trying to saturate their community with the gospel. They were trying to reach their entire community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do here. That's why we've got maps in the office, you know, maps of Sacramento, and we're marking every street, and we're motivating and mobilizing soul winners to go out into the community, in the highways, in the hedges, every street, every door. You say, why? Because we want to fill Sacramento with our doctrine. Because we want the Word of God to be published throughout all of Sacramento. Acts 13, verse 49. Acts chapter 13, verse 49. I'm showing you all these verses to show you this is a consistent theme in the Bible. This is what God has called us to do. Acts 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I mean, let that settle in. I would love for that verse to be said of our church in this day. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Acts 19 and verse 10. Acts 19 and verse 10. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 10 says this. Acts chapter 19 and verse 10 says, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Notice they were consistent at it. They stuck with it. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. I love that. He says that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor, what should we do during the summertime? You ought to rest. You ought to relax. You ought to find time to recharge. You ought to do those things. But while you're doing those things, be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to the things of God. Maintain your clothing standards and maintain your soul winning. Amen. We're trying. You say, why go soul winning and why preach the gospel? Why do these things during the summertime? So we can have a great harvest in the fall. We want to publish this throughout the region. And look, we're doing that. We've been doing this for 10 years now, almost 10 years. You know, the things we do around here, of course, soul winning is our main outreach is soul winning because this is what the Bible commands. Jesus sent his apostles out by two and two into the highways and the hedges. And that is the most effective way to reach our community with the gospel. Going door to door. People try to tell me, oh, going door to door is not effective. Oh, really? Then why is it that whenever there's a political season, I've got politicians knocking on my door asking me for their vote? Look, you think those people, they don't do things, they're not stupid. They know what's effective. And they use radio ads and they use TV ads and I'm not against using those things. We'll use whatever we can. But the most effective thing they know is to go and personally knock on your door and ask you for the vote. And the most effective thing that we can do is to go personally knock on their doors and ask them if they'd like to hear the gospel. And ask them if they'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do soul winning. That's not all we do. We have, of course, our YouTube channel. We put our sermons out there, and we try to reach people through that, and that has been effective. And many of you have been reached through those types of things. We also, I don't talk about this a lot, but I don't know if you guys realize it, but we put the preaching of Verity Baptist Church on television. Here in Northern California, we've got a program. It's called Rooted and Grounded. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you ought to watch it. And it's the preaching from our church. And you say, well, I don't need to watch it. But maybe you know someone that you could tell. You know, maybe you got a friend. Maybe you got a family member. Maybe they can't, and they've got a TV or whatever. You know, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., if you check it out, we're on Comcast chapter 20, good night. Comcast channel 20, AT&T channel 14, and Consolidated channel 19. And we've been on there for a while now. And you say, Pastor, they haven't kicked you off? I know, I'm surprised. I'm shocked too. And we've had people come to our church that watched us on TV. And you say, well, what are you doing? We're going to use every possible outlet to get the Word of God out there. You know, and we've got mailers. I don't know if you know this, but every week we've got mailers that we send out to people who move into Sacramento, and we send them our one of the documentaries that we have, and we send them a letter and send them something with the gospel or things like that. We've got mailers and the preaching. Look, you say, what are we trying to do? We're just trying to accomplish more. And you know what? As time goes on, we'll try to do more. Honestly, I'm excited. This fall, we're going to try, and we're going to see how it goes, but we're going to start a ministry, and we're going to just kind of test it out at first and see how it goes and figure out how it goes before we really push it big. But we're going to try to see about getting resources into the hands of high schoolers. And these high schoolers, they get out of high school, they get out of school, and they're walking home, and they're doing a whole lot of nothing. And it's perfectly legal, and there's nothing wrong with standing on a sidewalk and handing a bunch of high schoolers a soda and a Bible's Way to Heaven. Amen. And that's something I'm excited to try that. We're going to try that this fall. If we can get our preaching on the radio, we'll do it. If we can get our preaching on whatever outlet, we'll do it. You say, why? Because we're trying to saturate this community with the gospel. Amen. Our goal is to get to look. During the summer times, don't be lazy. Be faithful with soul winning. Get out there and get connected and help us reach this community. You say, yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's working. I mean, it seemed like it worked this morning. This morning was great. Tonight, we're doing great. But you know what? Even if it doesn't seem like it works, you know what? Just go out there, be faithful during the summertime. And I believe if we're faithful at summer, God will bless the harvest in the fall. Go to John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is the last place I'll have you turn to. Not only should we be saturating our community, and the primary way to do that is through soul winning, is through going out and knocking doors and reaching people with the gospel. But there's another effective way to reach people with the gospel, and that is through friends inviting friends. John chapter 1, verse 3. I've showed you this before, but I want you to notice it. John 1, 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, I want you to notice what Jesus said to his early disciples. He said, come and see. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Notice what Andrew does. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Andrew invited his brother Simon to come follow Jesus. And here we've got two brothers who ended up being two of the 12 apostles. Why? Because one brother invited another brother. And look, this is, it's not a coincidence. And say unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. Look at verse 44, same chapter. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Here you've got two guys, they're not brothers. They're just friends. Philip starts following Jesus. What does Philip do? He finds his friend Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. You say, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of new at this, and I'm not sure if I can give the gospel, and I'm not sure about the soul or anything. Okay, can you just go to a friend and say, come and see? Come check it out. Hey, here's what I promise you. You get them here, and we'll make sure a soul winner walks up to them and asks them, do you know for sure if you're that today, or you're on your way to heaven, and try to give them the gospel? You say, why do you do that? Because the gospel is the most important thing. You say, Pastor, why don't you just preach the gospel from the pulpit? Because it's too important of a task to just do it just to everyone. It's so important that we'd rather just make sure we walk up to every guest and just look them in the eye and say, we love you. Do you know for sure if you died today or you're on your way to heaven? Amen. Say, does every guest get saved? No, a lot of them don't get saved. Some of them don't want to talk. That's fine. But we at least give them the opportunity. You say, why? Because we love them. That's why. Because it's a priority. That's why. Say, I don't know how to give the gospel. Get him here. We'll do it. Now, I'm not saying don't learn. You need to learn how to give the gospel, and you go out and give the gospel to your friends. But while you're, can you at least say, come and see? Come and see. You know, you got some friends, and they start talking to you, and they start saying, man, listen, you ever since you started going to that church, you've got to change a little bit. And I noticed you used to wear Speedos, Jim. And I don't know what happened, but we're all thankful for it. You know, what happened? You say, come and see. Come and see. You know, what's going on with your family? I mean, it looks like things are changing. It looks like things are happening. I mean, it's kind of odd. I mean, can you just say, hey, come and see. Come check it out. You say, why do we take the time to make these cards and do these things and put these resources in your hand so you can go to your friend and say, hey, I know you've been wondering about me. Just come and see. Just come and see. Just come check it out. The most effective ways to reach people with the gospel are going out there, knocking doors, inviting people to church, preaching the gospel, and the next most effective way is just friends inviting friends. Family inviting family. Neighbors inviting neighbors. And if you can get the gospel to your friends, then get the gospel to your friends. And if you can't, just say, hey, just come and see. Come check it out. We should be inviting our friends and our families to Christ and to church. And look, this is a great summer series for you to invite your friends to come check it out. Nothing weird. We're going to have encounters with Christ. We're going to be learning about Jesus. And you might be shocked what you learn about Jesus when you actually read the Bible. So I'm just trying to encourage you as we enter this summer season. I hope you will take time to relax and to be recharged and to be refreshed. And to take time and go on trips and take time and be with the family. Those are all good things to do. But during the summertime, make sure you're going faithfully to church. Hey, Pastor, we're going to be on the other side of the country for a couple. Then find a church to go to and go there. During the summertime, you should be growing in the Lord spiritually. Make sure you're reading your Bible. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're developing those daily habits of devotional time and grow spiritually in the Lord. During the summertime, we should be maintaining our clothing standards. Decide what's right, decide what's wrong, and you stick with it, no matter how hot it is.
And during the summertime, we should be maintaining our soul winning. We should maintain our soul winning fervor. We should continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because look, you can go on vacation, but hell doesn't shut down. You can take a break, but people still die and go to hell. So we must preach the gospel even during the summertime. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for a church that you've given us, Lord, where people love you and they love the word. And we realize that some of these things are not popular today and people don't like it, but it's the Bible. And we love the Bible. We love God's word. We believe it's applicable today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we enter this season of summer, that we would just continue to be faithful and continue to love you and continue to love your word. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.